Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Got the snap to Brady. Retreats in the pocket. Off his back foot. Throws toward the end zone. Left side. Caught by White! What a throw as Brady hits the deck on target to James White for the touchdown Patriots.
That's the Tom Brady I know. And that's the Tom Brady that we love. A guy that will stare down. A free blitzer. Take the shot. Fall on his left shoulder. Get drilled. But deliver a strike and cut your throat in the back left corner of that end zone. Start the buses, boys. Start the buses.
Feel better.
Everyone's feeling better.
Coach feels better. Everybody feels better.
All right. Good.
Wow.
What a
difference a week. This goes to show you this league is nuts. That's the NFL, man. In 6 days,
38-7 final score. Patriots even it up 2-2. Dolphins 3-1. A lot of things went right for the Patriots yesterday. A lot of stuff went well. Where do you want to start?
I think you got to start with the first drive in the running game, right? I mean, you got to start with Sony Michel. Bob Sosi taking a shot at Mask coming out of the game.
Everybody was taking a shot at Mask yesterday.
Well, Sony Michel does not suck or blow.
The whole world was taking shots.
I kind of told you that, you know, the leg churn with the kid, but, you know, Steve Burton was doing this too in the postgame. Who made the best, you know, who was the skill guy and what popped offensively? Was it Josh Gordon? Was it Sony Michel? Was it James White? I said, you know what? It starts with James Devlin. James Devlin was my hero yesterday. James Devlin may have had about 5 or 6 pancake blocks. He dominated the line of scrimmage. He dominated the backers. He kicked out the ends. I thought they blocked phenomenally. We all know Dwayne Allen stinks at catching a football. So take the screen to Dwayne Allen. Take the go route to Dwayne Allen. And do what I told you to do with the running game out in Detroit. Put it in that blue bag behind the bench and send it to the buses. I tell you what, Dwayne Allen blocked his ass off yesterday, too. I mean, this is a – you know what this is? You know, Greg Bedard goes in when with Felker Mass? Tuesdays? Ready for it for the three ups.
I think it's Wednesday.
Get ready for the Joe Tooney, Shaq Mason, Trent Brown, James – it is a meathead offensive lineman type of potpourri of good that's going to be out there by Greg Bedard.
All right, there were things that they could get better at that didn't involve lack of talent, right? Because coming out of Detroit, a lot of people, and we were talking about it too, you know, is the team talented enough and maybe the skill positions, but on the lines, both sides of the ball, that was one of the areas where you say, all right, these guys are better than this. These guys can play better than what they've done so far. Just play better, execute better, get on the same page. And the offensive line did that out of the gate yesterday. The defensive line was better. But I think controlling the line of scrimmage early in this game was, like, the biggest noticeable difference right away that you're like, oh, okay, good. They've got their crap together a little bit from where they were last Sunday night in Detroit. They're much better up front.
I knew Dante Scarnecchia would fix the offensive line. The question was there going to be enough to fix defensively? Because, you know, what's the situation of what where guys are playing? There was a lot of talk last week about taking a guy like Hightower and just moving him to defensive end, because right now he can't run or play backer. They moved him back to middle backer, and I thought Dante Hightower dominated yesterday. Stuffed the run, rushed the passer. I thought he did a great job policing things up front with the rotation that they put in front of him. But it does help to have Trey Flowers back. It does help to have Pat Chung back. Pat Chung gives you a secondary, and this is the problem last week. You take Chung out of the mix, you know, now all of a sudden, McCourty's got to back up and play free safety and stay back there. Devin McCourty and Pat Chung down in the box is better for this football team from a tackling standpoint.
Because you have shorter distances, so you have better angles for guys. You have all that.
They tackle like crap for the first 3 weeks. They know it. They talked about it. They talked about working hard last week, about winning the week. McCourty was outspoken. Hightower was outspoken. And when you talk that way, you better walk the walk. And they did that yesterday. And I think Hightower and McCourty get credit for that. And I've been critical of Jason McCourty for 8 weeks. one, didn't understand why he was on the football team in August. And then as you continue to see him get more and more reps, scratching your head even more. How is he earning these reps? And then yesterday he plays every single snap on defense, 49 out of 49, and he was good. He was really good. If he could give you that, how about this? If Jason McCourty could give you 80 or 90% of what he gave you yesterday,
yep.
and you put that opposite Stephon Gilmore,
mm-hmm.
and then you could run other guys in and out like J.C. Jackson, who showed you a little something for a rookie. That's the stuff he did in the preseason. Jonathan Jones, continued improvement. And if the safeties stay healthy, your secondary is pretty freaking good.
Yeah, except I think they're very vulnerable if they have one injury. You know what I mean?
You're an injury away from not having anything.
You're an injury away from looking like you did last week again.
Well, that was the Super Bowl, too. You understand? You take a guy that's a 16-game starter and sit him like Malcolm Butler. Now, all of a sudden, you're saying, hey, Jordan Richards, go get on the football field. And you're having guys – it's a domino effect in the secondary is what it is.
Okay. But
okay?
I get that.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying, I totally understand and agree with it. But one injury is going to tear that thing apart again.
Terrible.
That's bad. Yeah. That you need better – this is where I say you need better depth. You need to have a better plan if someone gets hurt there.
Because
the dominoes, when they fall, are not pleasant.
The problem is your fourth safety is a special teamer, Nate.
We need to factor in the level of competition in the Dolphins yesterday. They're gonna play. I'm not
paper 3-0.
I'm not
paper 3-0.
Putting down the Dolphins here. I'm just saying you're gonna face better teams than yesterday. You will play better teams than the Miami Dolphins of 2018.
There will be people that will look at this
game. You'll
play
a better team in 2 weeks against Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's better than that team by a lot.
You know, Kansas City plays tonight. They're on the road at Denver. Then they got Jacksonville at home. And then they got to come here for Sunday Night Football. You're going to find out about the Chiefs in the next 3 weeks. Okay? That'll take care of the Chiefs, whether good or bad. But there's going to be people look at this game yesterday and they're going to give this Patriots team no credit because it's the Miami Dolphins and based on the lack of competition that Miami has. But that's a 3-0 team that came in here. Hey, you played against the Texans. You played in a crappy setting against the Detroit Lions last week. You didn't take care of business. So should we not give credit to the loss? And should we look at New England differently, even at 1-2? Hey, New England's fine. I didn't hear that last week. I think it's ridiculous to come in and say that win didn't show you something yesterday. That win yesterday showed you that this team could take coaching. There are things you saw change. You saw guys pulling with emphasis. I thought the guard play was great. Trent Brown out in space ahead of Sony Michel on a sweep. Like, good luck trying to tackle that if you're a corner. You got that thing coming at you. I thought Michel ran hard yesterday. Like, he's good at contact, getting up into the line, establishing contact, churning through. And there were times they're trying to hang on the arms to rip the ball out. And that's a kid that has had troubling issues fumbling the football in college. And I thought he did a nice job hanging onto the ball. He did. You know, Kiko Alonso was trying to pop that thing out all day yesterday. And he's one of those savvy veterans. Dirty player, I think. There's little things where everybody had everybody's back. David Andrews clearing a pile after Alonso tried to take Gronk out. Every single receiver blocking downfield. Your boy Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon threw a hell of a block on the white touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, we thought that thing was trending poorly for him to play, meaning not in the right direction. This past Friday, like,
surprised me. He looked,
surprised everybody.
They didn't have him running anything deep. Everything was short.
I guess
he wasn't stretching it out.
I was licking my chops yesterday too. Tom's looking out there, and this is what they're doing too. They're just giving him a little and a little.
All kick. Short.
They're building confidence. Is what they're doing
because you saw that touchdown by Cordarrelle Patterson. That man, he doesn't make anything look smooth, does he?
No.
Nothing. Where he turns completely around, nearly comes to a full stop.
He's
to
better.
Catch the ball. Turns completely around to keep going. And by the way, he made a nice play to know where to be to get into the end zone.
Yeah.
Right? Because he caught that ball right around the 30.
Those are return skills.
Where did he catch that? Around like the 35?
Yeah, 35 turned and looked
right?
And just made a little. He didn't stop and make the move. It's a return move, meaning I'm full speed. I'm making moves as I'm flying.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
Gordon played, what, 18 snaps yesterday? So of the 18. A lot of it was short. They used him, and he had two good catches.
Strength.
And I think they're easing him in. I mean, you could see that. So those routes like you saw from Patterson on the touchdown, that's not going to be Patterson down the road, I don't think.
I think Josh is going to finally be able to
Josh
realize
Gordon.
We can't run Patterson out of the backfield and give him stuff when he's wide open, like in the flat, because he's going to trip and break his legs like Bambi did on ice. He's better down the field with stuff. You know, just get him out in open field.
Yeah.
As opposed to, why are we overthinking this thing, you know? But I think Josh, responded well. I thought the defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, I know he's not named that, but I thought they all responded well. That's good coaching for them.
Putting guys like the McCourties, putting guys like Dante Hightower in a better spot, Ron Harmon in a better spot, all with Pat Chung coming back, all that was a help. No more talent needed other than guys that are completely healthy.
Gap responsibility was good up front.
I was going to say, up front on the defensive line, things were much better. As you just said, gap responsibility on the offensive line, their run blocking was a whole hell of a lot better than it was a week ago. I thought they gave up some pressures in pass blocking that they didn't give up any sacks, but they gave up pressures.
They gave up pressures without them blitzing, and the throw Brady had to James White, it was a TN game on the left side.
Right.
And Tooney and Trent Brown got screwed up, and they got squeezed by this guy. Came right up the middle, and that's how you lose a quarterback.
Yeah.
Supposedly Dante lit them up on the sideline after that, from what I heard.
Good. But their run blocking was a whole heck of a lot better than it was.
Feels good to run the ball.
As you said, Devlin contributed to that, but they're on the same page. They're all going in the right direction together. You go back and watch some of that Detroit game. These guys were all over the place.
It seemed like the run game, it wasn't a, hey, let's line
communication.
Up.
Communication.
Yeah.
Communication.
But, I mean, it was a scheme. You know what I mean? It was a timed running game, meaning when you got to pull backside guards and you're leading around, everything, you know, you got to seal the edge with Dwayne Allen. Short motion by Gronkowski, caving things down in.
But nobody was screwing up their role in that.
Nobody screwed it up. I think they got their ass handed to them this week, you know?
Yes. And there's obviously the performance of Sony Michel. Want to talk more about that. Want to talk about Rob Gronkowski and the return of Julian Edelman. Let's get to all of this coming up.
Got a little information. There's a new player. Number 11.
Well,
first one in the building today.
617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand
after
the Patriots win. We're back in Foxborough today, deep inside Gillette Stadium.
Get in there.
We'll get to your calls on this game, your reaction to a big win. And again, want to talk about Gronk. A little more on Hightower. Edelman is back today. We'll get to all of this coming up.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
First and 10 for the Pats as Brady gives it to Michel. Makes a man miss at the 35, across the 40, beyond the 45. And Sony is double teamed and brought down at midfield by Kiko Alonso. And a second defender for the Dolphins coming over as well. It appeared to be Micah Fitzpatrick, but good running by Sony Michel.
That's a heck of a run right there, getting the daylight. Our 2-6 show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Should feel pretty good about the rookie running back. 23-yard scamper, makes the safety miss, runs through contact. I'm telling you, he's a better runner against the first time he hits contact. He knows how to get through contact.
Put your head down.
I'll probably come out on baseball. I would.
I would.
Do a little Celtics.
Celtics.
They played this weekend.
Celtics preseason.
Yeah, Celtics preseason.
One
of those kids had to suck or something. I don't know.
Yeah. He's going to hear it today.
Oh, yeah.
On that guy. And then, you know who should hear it, too? And he tried to, like, weasel his way out of it last night. It was Big Jim. Big Jim was down on it.
Is he an anti-Sony guy?
Yeah, well, sort of.
Really?
Sort of last week.
Mr. College
saying,
football.
Oh, he might not be any good.
Mr. Yeah, Bass?
He's, like, couching it. Like, oh, they may have blown another pick 2 weeks
He's overall a running back guy, though, so I think he believed in it. He believed in it in general.
I thought
right?
he was a running back guy.
No, he did back in, like, the spring when they took him. I'm talking about last week.
Well, he isn't
saying,
really
like, oh, they may have blown another pick. Oh, Calvin Ridley, blah, blah, blah.
I understand it. Right? I mean, I understand it, but I think it's a little bit of a reach.
And he said, well, last night he comes up saying, oh, you know, well, he hasn't really had a preseason. I'm like, whoa, where was this a week ago?
Who's this
That's
guy?
What I was saying a week
Who's
ago. Give
guy?
The kid a chance.
Yeah.
Give the kid a chance.
If you had the same thing through about 6-7 games, I could understand it. You say, okay, maybe they blew this pick, but the kid hasn't had a chance to do anything yet.
And by the way, even as good as he looked yesterday, Sony Michel, I'm not sure he's completely healthy. I don't know if he's running at 100% right now.
He might not be.
I don't think he – I think the –
Do you know how many backs they had active yesterday? Two.
Yeah.
Two. One, two. I don't count
and,
that.
And
one.
I don't mean in the sense that like,
– Oh, Barner. Do you really count Barner, though?
Well, he got into the game.
Yeah, 38 zip.
He got into the game.
Okay. So did Hoyer. You want to do a Hoyer-Barner segment?
Well, he was active. Hoyer was active, and he got into the game.
But I think going in, that's a – 53.
If Tom Brady got hurt, they would have needed Brian Hoyer. If one of the running backs who were active got hurt, they'd have Kenyon Barner.
It's like, I think when you're looking at your active roster,
doesn't mean anything.
I think Barner's the last
guy. Yeah, but you're saying, oh, they only had two backs active. Like, oh, they're so confident that no one's going to get hurt. Well, they do have another guy on the side.
Two backs in the plan. Can I rephrase it? Two backs in the game plan.
That's all there really should be.
Well, they have Ralph Webb on the practice squad.
I take
and
Webb
it's obvious
Barner.
That they're keeping him on the practice squad because they want to bury him for a year. Because once he's activated, they're not going to be able to pass him through waivers. So Barner's here just because they don't want to activate Webb.
Yeah.
I love how the legend of Ralph Webb has grown to the point where now we don't know if they'll activate him because they're so concerned someone else is going to grab him.
He's been giving him good looks in
we've got a limited sample, practice. Though, and it was like preseason. What was his first preseason?
I'm going off of college.
Right?
It was that he's one of the best SEC rushers of all time.
I know, but that you don't know if that's going to translate. I mean, there's a reason why he was here in the first place. Yeah. Obviously,
SEC running backs usually translate.
Many times they don't. I mean, if you look at like every running back to ever come out of the conference,
I don't know. Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, but you're
Jeremy Hill was really good.
Where was Ralph Webb drafted?
Was he undrafted or seventh round?
I think he was at UDA.
Yeah,
he was undrafted.
That's fine.
Undrafted.
It's fine. Running backs come like that all the time.
I'm just saying he wasn't even picked up. Every single team didn't think he was even worth the pick in the draft. Not a single team thought he was worth using a draft pick on.
All right, move on. We're talking about too much about Ralph Webb based on yesterday.
I don't care. I'm willing to have the conversation.
I saw my man Sean Jefferson yesterday. He's 13.
I saw him, too. I didn't talk to him, but I saw him.
We're talking about changing the play in the huddle.
How old is he? Is he the same age as you?
Same age as me. It looks like he could still play.
He looks good.
His kid is the starting running back at Florida. I didn't know that. Yeah. His name's Van, I think.
Okay.
Van Jefferson.
You got anything else?
I didn't know that. Yeah. He's like, man, yes, I do. I do have something. So I talked to
him. Can we go back to Ralph Webb?
No.
About the makeup of the Dolphins and why you think they were 3-0. He just goes, you know, I've been doing this a long time. He says, but never had a guy like Danny Amendola come in and affect the locker room, not only from a chemistry standpoint, but from a work ethic standpoint. He goes, my God, we think, you know, us as coaches got it right. And we're working, we're grinding. And you come here and you watch what he does. Then you make everybody else try and do it, and everybody else tries to do it because he takes charge of it. And I talked to Marino 20 minutes prior to that. Danny told me the exact same thing that Jefferson told me, totally unprovoked. Because Amendola came over and said hi to me while I was talking to Jefferson. He goes, let me tell you about that SOB right there. I said, yeah? I said, yeah, we've seen that. I said, he and Edelman, grinders. He's like, dude, I never seen anything like it. 13 years I've been coaching. To have a guy practice the way he does and lift weights and run and all that. But you have to. I mean, what are those guys? They're small, short, overachieving type things. I mean, Danny Amendola was on Hard Knocks trying to make a football team with the Cowboys. Then he went to St. Louis, and he was here. We know what he is. He's got to overwork like that to play in this league. He's not Josh Gordon. He's not born with that talent.
Right.
You know? But I thought it was interesting that Marino and Jefferson both talked about Amendola as the reason why they're in the spot they're in. And they talked about culture because you got rid of guys like Sue, Jay Ajayi from years ago. He just got rid of the a-holes.
Right.
So they may have lost yesterday, but they don't have any a-holes.
Azo, one of the biggest problems that I see for the Patriots coming out of this game that I think will get much better right away this week with the guy you mentioned who's in the building. He's here. Oh. Julian Edelman reporting for duty this morning.
They still
can't get anybody open over the middle of the field.
Boy, they're trying to.
That includes Rob Gronkowski because he's getting just blanketed. But
yeah, there's words out there that have been used.
What?
Just Gronk. I mean, we could go through.
Mugged? Absolutely mugged?
Yeah. Yep. I'm talking internally, talk to some people, and they're fighting it again to the point where every Tuesday you send plays, and I talk about you. It's usually 10 to 13 plays that refs miss. And they think that on 80% of the time he is en route, he is either held or interfered with or illegal contacted downfield. And it's sad because the size of the player, it makes you officiate the game differently. You know, it's not a little guy going down and gets knocked. Every ref sees that.
Yeah.
They just think it's him running over defenders. And it's, you know, they're having some early issues again with him being held a lot.
But they can't. They can't make that go over the middle of the field yet. Edelman has to help that.
Oh, him on the other side. Now, okay, Edelman's coming in running a quick underneath return route. Who are you going to cover? Brady's going to bang that on Edelman. That's where the non-hesitation with the throw is going to come back and help this offense. Because Brady's still, I'm not seeing it, but should I release it? You know, like the first pick, the door. Horrible throw. Don't get me wrong. Brady should have had three interceptions yesterday. But that first one, I think he thought Dorsett was going to cut underneath, and he didn't. Maybe guys like Edelman and Hogan do that. And that's that whole trust thing. But at least he's trying to get the ball to Dorsett and give him credit for that.
617-779-0985. Let's get to some of your calls after this game. Patriots get a big win, a much-needed win yesterday at home. Ryan's in Maine. Go ahead, Ryan. Lead us off today.
Hey, what's up, Joe and Beatles?
Hey.
Joe. Just had a quick question on Rob Gronkowski and what you think his availability is for Thursday night. Thanks for the call.
He was unavailable after the game, out of the locker room. They were up 31-0. I'd shut him down. He went right to the locker room after he did something with the ankle.
But he was limping.
On the he was listed as questionable, not out by the team. Listed as questionable with an ankle. So that's the last we've heard on the injury.
You think he fights to get in the game?
No.
No? He's got playing time incentives.
If he's limping and this could further hurt him, can you get by? See, here's the thing. You don't have Hollister. Not that you're sitting there waiting on Hollister, but has Allen shown you anything that he could be the tight end?
Oh, I really enjoyed his two catches.
Those were nice, huh? I'm sorry. I said what I said. I'm like, two things I never thought I'd say during a broadcast.
There was one. I don't know if we have it today. Maybe we can. Do we have that? Do you remember this?
Two things in 7 years I thought I'd never call. Screen pass to Dwayne Allen or go route to Dwayne Allen.
So said at one point in the broadcast, he goes, and it was just like a quiet moment. And he just kind of sort of leans back in his chair. And obviously you didn't know this on radio. And he goes, you know, at what point in your week did you decide that you were going to throw a pass to Dwayne?
When did Josh McDaniels?
It was
Wednesday.
Great. Like, what day do you think they decided that he was going to be on the receiving end of a pass?
The worst part is that was going to go for like 30 yards, but he for some reason just stopped running. He stopped running.
Yeah, because he had the guys that are not good at catching the ball downfield. We found this out with all receivers. We've done studies on this. The guys that have trouble looking back and turning the head. There's something about looking back and turning the head, it's a mechanism that kicks in that makes you stop running. And the ones that can fight through that and do that without stopping, those are your best receivers in the league. Those are guys just going and boom, arms go out the last second. Like that Dorsett catch in the end zone is an example of that. Like I'm running, ball's there, I'm waiting till the last second, boom. He caught the back end of that football. Like that is a great catch. That's what I'm talking about, catching it in your fingers. Yeah, but maybe it was Thursday night after six martinis. McDaniel said, let's get the ball to Dwayne Allen down the field, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's throw a screen pass to him.
Mike is in Providence today on Sony Michelle. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
So I got a question. How many games do you think it'll take for Sony Michelle to get some recognition?
There you go.
Okay. Thank you.
That was his call? What the hell does that even mean?
Is that a hit and run? What happened?
To get recognition?
I think he was ordering something, getting something from the drive-thru, because she said, here you go. He said, thanks.
Oh,
recognition. What? From who?
I don't know.
Maybe from Maz, who said he's
old.
Wow, Hardy, you do not sound well today, my friend.
Oh, but that's too bad, because I feel great.
I want you to go get some chicken noodle soup. I want you to take two Advil.
Yeah.
And I want you to head home and have Matt McCarthy take over.
No, I'll be here for a few hours. I'll see you boys on Wednesday.
You make me want to go get a bottle of NyQuil right now and just chug it. Listen to that voice. Talk again.
Sexy. Oh, baby.
Ooh.
So unbeatable.
Recognition for Maz. He's going to be waiting a long time. This is not going to be a guy that Maz has to rail on every time he doesn't perform.
Didn't Maz just say last week the Red Sox are going to win the East?
And like I said... Hey. And like I said 10 minutes ago.
Stop picking on Maz.
This is not like the high water mark with Sony Michel. This kid's only going to get better. He's only going to get better as time goes on. Yesterday was good for him because it proves he's built for the NFL and can play at this level. If there are any concerns about that, not that I was concerned or you were concerned, but if anybody was concerned about that, those concerns should have been gone after yesterday. But that is not the high water mark. There's a lot this kid can do.
Yeah, breakaway. I think he is a breakaway.
His biggest question is the health and the knee.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. But ability, he's got all kinds of ability that he has. Let's check in with Hardy for the headlines. Hope he's able to get through them.
Minute and a half.
I'll
be
fine.
90 seconds.
Okay. All right. Oof. And then we're back from Foxborough. More your calls as we continue to talk about a win for the Patriots. And I also just want to talk about the spot that they were in yesterday and the response. We finally got a response from this team. We'll get to that next.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Slot wide. Dorsett to the near side. Brady takes the snap. Looks left. Pressure from his right. Throws to the end zone. Dorsett snags it. Then does a somersault for a touchdown. Patriots.
What a catch. I'm like, no way he's going to get to this football. It's an outside return route by Philip Dorsett. Brady has to throw it because of pressure. Brady gets drilled. And Dorsett goes down inside. As I said, he returns out. And he catches it off the shoe top.
Oh, my.
What? And then goes with the flip over the top to secure the catch. I mean, we've seen him catch the ball well all year, especially along the boundary. But this is phenomenal.
Solak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium on this Monday. Short week for the Patriots. Colts on Thursday night, but we're talking about their win over the Dolphins yesterday.
Yeah, that's a great catch by Philip Dorsett there. As I said, he caught the back end of that football, and you know, you slow it down and you look at it. What? How many times do you see that in slow-mo? About three or four, right?
Yes.
He said, okay, he got that. That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
I got a little birdie that told me that my good buddy, Gene Steratore, who is now doing
TV.
The league stuff.
Yeah.
Thought maybe that should have been overturned and was in contact with the game crew doing a game here.
I thought he was doing CBS. I thought he was on TV now as an analyst.
Well, he is CBS, but I think he made a call to the league to say, let's take another look at that. Doesn't look like he cleanly caught that ball. That the ball was coming out.
Wait.
That's what I heard.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. That's what I heard. I trust some people in booths.
So while Riveron's watching eight games go on at once, he's also getting calls from guys like Steratore on the side?
Take another look at that. During the somersault, they thought he lost control of it.
No,
that's not what we're talking about. I don't give a damn about the play. Now that you've told us.
I mean, I'm not drumming that up. I just heard that.
Was? I thought he juggled the ball, and then as he gained control, his feet were out of bounds.
That's what Steratore thought.
And it happened.
And they thought
quick.
They should have looked at it, but the fact the game was, you know, do we really want to do this as a league? That's a great catch. See, that's the instantaneous, my point about the touchdown. When a running back goes over and breaks that plane, boom, touchdown, even if the ball gets punched out. So why doesn't the running back have to hang on to the ball to complete the run? Like, that last year would not have been a catch. That should be a catch this year, right? If we're doing that, you know, not the Dez Bryant rule.
Well, yeah,
right?
If we're just going to call touchdowns that weren't touchdowns in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, then, yeah, we might as well call them now.
Yep.
At least the Patriots will try and get some of those back this year.
I just thought that was interesting. I heard that from someone, and I trust that person, and, yeah, that happened. So
now I want to look at it again and continue to look at it. But that's
Buddy Rich Gannon was doing
it. I don't even care all that much about the absurd catch that he made. I want to know more about this conspiracy. At the highest levels of the league officials, they are taking phone calls and what? Text messages and... Is there a red phone he can pick up? Gene Steratore?
Wouldn't it be interesting?
That goes right to Gene. Yeah. I'm sorry. Not to Gene. To Russ and Al?
Well, Russ might be getting a sandwich at that time.
Well, Russ is the guy. Yeah. Russ is the backup.
Here's the thing. Do you have the ability on site wherever he is, and if he's on TV, to have the ability to look at red zone from around the league?
Is he at the league office? Is he there? Because you ever see the NBA when Steve Javi comes in on the ESPN broadcast?
I haven't seen him on TV. I don't know.
No, Steve Javi's at Secaucus where the NBA does their replay. I wonder if the NFL refs are doing the same.
So we've had Nance and Romo for two games. Two out of the first three games, we had Nance and Romo. I didn't see Steratore with them. And normally you're with the number one crew, right?
No.
They don't travel.
Romo. They don't travel anymore. They did that in the very beginning.
Well, I'm saying that's
only ESPN, Jerry Austin,
for like Monday Night Football.
Okay, so he may be in the office there with the head guy.
According to the release from CBS Sports on June 26, Steratore will provide analysis from the CBS Broadcast Center.
So he's in the broadcast center, and that's how they contacted the CBS truck who was doing the game.
No. How did he get in touch with the people at the league level? Al Riverone.
I didn't say he called Al. I said that he called the booth here. Steratore was in touch with the booth here saying, we should probably take a look at this one.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wow,
I never said Al Riverone. I said as much as we thought that was a touchdown. The league was in when I say league, it's Steratore.
He doesn't work for the league. You can't call him
so
the league anymore.
So he works for CBS. All right.
He's no longer a ref. He doesn't work for the league anymore.
But isn't that amazing that one of the better referees we thought is looking at that saying, well, that's not a catch. That potentially could not be a catch.
Well, when his only job is to look at close plays that are broadcast on CBS and question if they're catches, no, now I don't think that's a big deal.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that he was at the CBS Broadcast Center watching the play.
Yep.
And then when he saw the play, he said, guys, maybe we want to take a look at this on our broadcast.
Talk to Rich
Cannon. At that point, it was 17-0 when the catch was made. And I'm sorry. I'm watching it again. He has possession of that ball and is.
They said it came out as he's after he made the catch and made the flip and it like juggled the feet.
I'm gonna watch more slow mo in different angles.
Well, he was supposedly in contact.
On the ground
he
was
in contact. Yeah, he was in contact with territory with the broadcast team. So,
and that's what you have. We shouldn't have played. Look, this is not good for TV or radio. This is just for us.
Like
we
it's watch so it. Even in super slow catch, boom, he's in.
That's but it. That's a the touchdown.
The feet. It's before his touch.
The ball was juggling, though.
There you go. Jim's territory over there.
No. He's got firm control of that ball, and
I thought he did.
Butt is on the ground.
Yeah.
He's sliding on the ground. He's on the ground.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if they took that away?
That would have been a horrible call if they took that away.
Oh, man. That place would go nuts. Even with the score. But, I mean, that's the fine line here. Say that's a tie game. See, it's a tie game. And end up taking away. You end up losing. You know, I mean, you're up what? How many points? I can't remember what the score was at that point.
Yeah.
But you're up big.
That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. But what about just the response, though? You know, last week the Patriots went in the opposite direction of what they should have done after losing to the Jags.
Right.
And it felt like yesterday the team had life.
They did. From the get-go.
Aside from all the things they did well, and that we could talk about from a game execution perspective, scheme. No, let's just talk about the energy out of the gate for this team.
You know what I was really worried about coming in this game was a dead-ass crowd.
They didn't have that yesterday. That
credit to the fans, too. I mean, because it's Miami, 1 o'clock start. Normally those games are like, remember when the Rams came in here?
Yeah.
For that 1 o'clock start? It was like you hear a pin drop. And I thought people would be tentative because not really knowing what to expect. But when you come out of the gate fast like that and you're able to run it and you're physical, sort of got the fans going and into it. And I just thought they responded from a coaching standpoint all across the board. Across the board. Like that running game, it's not just five and push. Everything's based on timing, the pulling, the guard play. The guard play is fantastic, I'm telling you. Bedard probably hasn't slept watching Shaq Mason. And there are a couple runs outside where the backside guard got up on the backer.
Bedard had a walk
cut
home.
Cut their legs out.
Bedard had a walk home with three legs last night.
Bedard, there's like,
oh man,
there's like two was tubs of Vaseline excited? And 16 towels in Bedard's bedroom watching this all 22. You know, Felger Mass going to have a field day with him.
All right, we're going to get to why the Dolphins were stupid coming up at 11 a.m. I do want to talk about the Patriots defense early in the game and third down situations that the Dolphins faced, because the Patriots knew you get Tannehill into those
third downs. 7+.
Woof. Oh, do they look bad?
Check down.
Why don't we talk about that coming up right after this?
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Wilson sprints in motion. They fake it to him and had it to Drake. Ooh, and he runs into a pair. Flowers there to cut him off at the pass.
There
and then
go.
Guy, along with Hightower and Van Noy in wait.
I like Dante Hightower in the middle of the defense because I think it's back to basics. You call the plays. It's another third and long. It seems like Hightower's got a little you-know-what vinegar in him today. And that's a good thing for this defense.
Hightower to shed the block of the guard, Ted Larson.
Woo!
Track money, penny. Got me in my feelings. Gotta be real with
me. Be like doing the Kiki challenge?
No.
Kiki, do you love me? Are you
riding? No, but I'll drive the car if you want to do it.
Side me.
That was a great stop by Dante Hightower there in the Patriots defense. And this is what the Patriots did really well defensively. They put the Dolphins in third and long situations early and often, and that's when Ryan Tannehill sucks.
Yeah.
That is when he is no bueno.
Boy, he really looked like a guy that's forced to – I don't know how to term it. I mean, I know he's an athlete, right? We all knew what the story was down at Tech.
Of course,
Tech,
yeah.
What did he play, Texas Tech? He was at Texas Tech, right? Or TCU, one of them. They drafted him to be a quarterback because he was a former receiver that turned into an athlete that could run, but then he could throw. He looked forced. He was very forced yesterday. Tentative. Two hands on the ball. Wait, look. And, man, does he stare it down one side or the other if it's not there initially. Like, he'll wait for you to come open. There were some kill shots in that first Jets game where I thought he was awful in that Jets game. And that's the guy that I saw that played against New York Jets. But, yeah, nice job by Hightower there, as you talk about on the call, just coming up and sticking. And that's something that, you know, we saw in him as a young player. Remember when they packaged him with the guys like Spikes, and it was just boom, 1-2, and stepping up and making sticks. He had some pop in his pencil yesterday, a little lead in the pencil. So he was feeling very, I called it viral last week?
Oh, here's what yesterday proves. Today, when you talk about, viral. When you talk about third down, you know, defense, and can you get off the field and all that, if you put yourself in good position on third down, on first and second down, you're gonna all of a sudden get this view of, oh, good third down defense. Well, not really. Their best defense is being played on the early downs. Right, and then, when you do that and you sort of force the other team into a bad spot, third down defense becomes a whole hell of a lot easier to play.
See, and if it's third and two or third and three, now all of a sudden he can run. And they were spying him. They kept chunking in a lot of those nickel situations, that big nickel, and they spied Tannehill because they feared the legs if they're going to play man. And a lot of those third down coverages were man. But first third downs of the game, four of the first five, were third and seven or longer. That's a ball game. That's how you get off the field. Third and 10, third and 11, third and 12, third and 8, third and 9. You know, it's not third and 1 where you're like, God, did we just play zone here? Because we play man, he's going to take off and run. And there was no option of that or no threat of that for him to do it.
617-779-0985. Mike is up next.
Mikey.
Mike. Mike at Oakham?
Yep, go ahead.
Hello.
All right, hey, good morning, guys. Hey, great game yesterday. Those linebackers looked damn fast to me. But one of the things that I thought was pretty solid was Cyrus Jones. His first year was a mess. How'd they get his head straight? I'll let you talk about that. But okay. Good talking to you.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
I mean, I think you cut his ass, right? Send him to Baltimore. You know, he's on the practice squad there. You bring him here. All of a sudden, you say, hey, we're going to wipe the slate clean for you. We drafted you. You got hurt. It never came to be. You never had confidence as a kick returner. You fumbled everything that was kicked to you here. They put him out there yesterday, and I thought he showed you a little bit. He had two decent returns yesterday, and he filled the punts perfectly. There wasn't, like, any indecision where, oh, crap, he's catching the ball inside the five, or, you know, he's fair catching it with nobody around him. That's what we saw in week one. I mean, who the hell was the kid that got cut? I forget his name already. Riley McCarron.
Mm-hmm.
Fair catching him when he shouldn't,
Cyrus Jones was on the field for 10 plays, including special teams.
Yeah.
Okay. Total.
Okay. And total. This is what I want to say. Is everyone losing sight of the fact of what he was drafted as?
A corner.
As, you know, a starting corner for this team.
And where's he been reps in practice?
Like,
at
don't,
safety.
Don't call
safety.
And tell us, like, oh, how did they get so much out of this play? Stop it.
J.C. Jackson.
Stop it. He is still a loss on the draft board.
Three plays on defense.
Thank you.
In garbage time.
Thank you.
J.C. Jackson is ahead of him on a depth chart.
They're not getting anything out of him that they expected to get out of him. He's now a special teamer only, you know, desperation type of depth piece defensively. Yeah, he can. He can return punts. He can catch it. He can secure the football. He can make sure that you're not going to turn it over on some sort of silly play, because they've had issues with that. So, good for him. Glad he's employed in the NFL, because he certainly hasn't proven himself as a defensive player. I don't think anybody wants him as their corner.
I don't want him out there where you're putting him in a situation where he's got to go out there and play 49 snaps. I think you pick and choose where you stick him in there and gives you a little depth, because bottom line, he's got some speed to him. You know, he's got some speed and quickness to him, and you got to get his confidence going. But what we saw yesterday was better in his entire career here.
Blair's in Maine. Blair, go.
Yeah, Miami really sucked yesterday, didn't they? I hope they do better when they play at home against the Patriots, man.
Okay, thanks,
yep,
Blair.
See you, Bear.
Appreciate the call.
Blair.
Thanks,
or
as always.
Bear. Hope you get eaten by a bear.
Dave is in Haverhill. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know what? The genesis of my call was a double thumbs up to Josh Gordon. You know, I don't know the individual clearly, but you know what? He made an impact yesterday, so I don't know. Hey, Mark and Hazel, but what, I mean, being next to Brady's locker, I don't know. I mean, you know what? I don't know the demons the guy's been through, but you know what? He made an impact, and go Pats, man.
I think they had him for 2 weeks.
Yeah, go fast.
I think this is it. What they had, they had him for 2 weeks. They believe in their program and the way it's built, and they believe in their leadership in the locker room. And I think there's also other good people that they put around him, probably non-football personnel, and they've been sort of force feeding him. They've been giving him a lot, and I know he's, from what I hear, he's been here studying. It's more mental than his physical. And I think it says something that they put him up there at the podium yesterday.
Boy, I got killed last night for even suggesting that he contributed to that win. I was
Jesus.
Yeah,
James White doesn't score if he's not in there. Block.
Who said that?
Wait, he ran a safety.
Yes, was it Statler or Waldorf? You guess which one.
You were criticized for suggesting that he contributed to the game. And the win?
Yes, one of the two curmudgeons that I do the post game.
Oh, it's got to be Paul. It's gotta
correct.
Be Paul.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, it's not hard to figure.
If you have a conceived notion about a player, or you think this is what this guy is, and you don't believe in him, I think you're going to look for everything to attack him.
Were there questions about whether or not he was going to be?
I don't believe in this work.
You don't believe in him, but you have to.
I'm not going
to
ignore what he did.
You got to fairly give him a clean slate and say, "Prove me wrong."
By the way, the debate has never been about his talent. And I said that from day one. There is no debate about his talent.
You see the talent yesterday.
He is supremely talented.
Right.
He wakes up in the morning, very talented football player. Yeah,
he wakes up and eats muscles. You know what I mean? That guy eats, sleeps, and pees muscles.
So, no, it's never been about the talent. It's been about, does he love football? Which he said in his own words yesterday.
He said, I love football. That's big.
He wants to directly respond to that criticism, which, good for him.
It means something's clicking a little bit.
All right, follow through.
Hey,
and
keep showing me.
Yeah,
show me.
Just show it.
I have no clue what the expectations are.
And the other thing
is
that he's as Bert Brewer said yesterday, he's deeper into the NFL's substance abuse policy than any player in the history of the game.
I believe that. He missed 2 years. Jesus.
And you are one misstep away from being gone for the year based on the NFL's rulings. You're one misstep away from being unavailable to your team. It's a high risk play. And so when he is out there, you're going to love him. I'm going to love his production when he's out on the field.
You weren't excited in a 19-yarder at the end of the game?
I'm never going to be convinced that he's a reliable guy that you could depend on to be there every game. It's going to take a long time to convince me of that. He's now played in 12 football games in, 4 years?
No.
He did contribute, though. A nice block.
Yep.
Nice block. Why the Dolphins were stupid, coming up 90 seconds from now.
Stupid.